Y'all hold on. It don't mean I'm going to stay here. I've done this last two Tuesday nights, and it actually felt pretty good. Amen. I did hear a joke about a Hindu monk and a Jewish rabbi and a televangelist were traveling to this conference. And their car broke down in this little old no-name city, little town. They walked for miles. They finally came to a little farm. And so they asked the, they saw a farmer. So they asked him where the nearest place was. He said, "Buddy, you ain't getting anything tonight. You might as well stay here." They said, "Okay, we don't mind." He said, "But there's one problem. I've only got room for two of you in the house. One of you got to stay in the barn." And the Hindu monk said, "That's no problem. I'll stay in the barn." So the Hindu monk went out to the barn. About 5 minutes later, there was a knock at the door. The Hindu priest said, "I'm sorry. I told you I'd stay out there. I told my brothers I'd stay out there. But there's a cow out there, and they're sacred to us. And I can't share the same place with a cow." And so he said, "No problem." The Jew said, hey, I'll take care of it. I'll do this. That's okay. We're used to sacrifice." And so the Jewish rabbi goes out. He's out for a few minutes, and pretty soon he comes up, and the man says, "Yes, sir, can I help you?" He says, "I told y'all I'd go out there." He said, "But there's a pig out there, and we can't stay with pigs." So the televangelist says, "You know what? Let me handle this. I know how to take care of things." So he goes out there. In about 5 minutes, there was the farmer opened the door, and it was the pig and the cow. Oh, isn't God good? Now, be here next week, because next week's sermon is, hey, somebody's feet stink. So y'all looking around, and somebody's even pointing again. Here we go. Somebody's feet stink. Amen. Stepped in water. It's really got to do with servanthood, but it's somebody's feet stink next week. And today is actually, get your Bible out. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. We all stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 6. Isn't God good? Matthew chapter 6. Look up there. Prayer for dummies. How many has ever felt like a dummy when you tried to talk to God? How many has ever tried to felt like a dummy when you tried to work for God? How many's ever had a problem as you're trying to help God and work through and letting God use you and all that good stuff? Well, here we go. Get ready. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." Let's do this together. I'll tell you what. Let's do this together. When I point, y'all start with me. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." Yeah, together means at the same time. Ready? "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen." Well, isn't that awesome? Sometimes we think of it as a child's prayer. Sometimes we think of it as just some little thing to throw out there. It's one of those little clicks that we just get it going and then we're okay. This is so, so powerful. So today we're going to talk about prayer for them. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne. I know, God, that you're working in our lives, God. I know, Lord, you're already in this service, God. You're doing great things. I know, Father, greater things are coming. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Father, in a way that will please you, Lord, in a way, Lord, that will cause us, Lord, to get a fresh vision of you, Lord. Father, and help us this day, Lord, to know, Lord, that even though sometimes we feel like a dummy as we're trying to work for you, Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to reach out and to understand and to know, Lord, that you are an awesome God and that you don't, listen, you said even a fool can enter in and not stray. So, Lord, I know, God, dummies can handle it too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Let me try to sit down for a while. Maybe this will work. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt inadequate when it comes to God's work? How many here would say, "I honestly at times feel like I'm the least one to be doing something for God"? Amen. How many here would say, "Well, it comes to praying. I see people praying. I see things happen. And then I pray and nothing happens. It goes straight up in the air, hits the ceiling, comes back and hits me in the head." We know I even asked God, look, God, show me how to pray. There was a little girl one time, this little girl, her father come by the room, and the little girl had building blocks, and she was throwing them up in the air. A, D, F, C, and her daddy said, what you doing, little girl? And she said, I'm praying. And he just looked kind of snickered and said, how's that praying? She says, I don't know what to say. So I'm just throwing the letters and let God put them in order. There's times we don't know how to pray, what to say, how to say it. And y'all go ahead. I want you to see a raise of hands now so everybody will know that we're in the same company. How many times do you feel like your prayers have no power? There you go. All right, so a powerless prayer. And how many times, go ahead and raise your hands again. And I can think of other words, inefficient, inadequate, but I'm just going to say how many sometimes even feel like a dummy when it comes to God's work. Amen. Okay, James 4 and 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. In other words, you got it all out of order. You've lost the true meaning of prayer. You haven't got it together. You don't understand what God is trying to get done here. And the disciples, they saw all these powerful works. They saw Jesus raise the dead. You can't get much more powerful than that. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him feed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. They saw him walk on the water. They saw all this stuff. But not one time did they say, God, teach us how to work miracles. Did they? Jesus, when they come to Jesus, the only thing they could say, teach us, is teach us how to pray. Because they watched Jesus and they watched what he did, and they knew when they watched Jesus, there was something very special about him that was different than anybody else. And the biggest thing they saw was every day he would start out his day praying. He would go to the garden and pray. He would go up on a mountain and pray. If you see him working his miracles, you see he's always praying. And so they understood, let's not just get to what's going on, the stuff around here. Let's get to the source. And they saw him praying. And so they didn't ask him how to do these things. They said, how do you pray? Because they knew how to pray. But it was little power. It was just based on religion. They didn't see many things happen because they knew, hey, we're praying, but we're not getting the same results you're getting. How many? You know, my granddaddy, bless his heart, I love him. He's been dead and gone for a long, long time. But I remember we go fishing out at Oriental, and we get on this end of the pier. He'd say, y'all get over there, and I'm going to get over here. And so he'd get on that end of the pier, and we start catching fish. And as soon as we went down to bait our hook, he'd be over there. So we move over here, and as soon as we moved over there, because he weren't catching any fish, as soon as we moved where he was at and start catching fish, he'd run over there. As soon as we'd been over to worm our hook, he'd say, go get me a drink. And while you were gone, he was over on your side. Well, bless his heart. I hope God's got him a good old pond in heaven where he catches fish all the time. And when I get there, I can't wait to say, hey, Pop, how about get me a drink? They prayed. But they knew their prayers were going to the ceiling and coming back down. And they saw that when Jesus prayed, wow, there was unlimited power. How many here understand? Understand this principle. There is unlimited power in your prayer. Y'all already got excited about that. How many understand there's unlimited power in your prayer? If you can learn how to pray, if you can learn how to enter into God's presence, there's unlimited power, and you'll see God answer prayers left and right, left and right, left and right. God will do it. You just watch what God can do. So now, they wanted this unlimited prayer. So Christ said, unlimited power. So Christ said, let me give you an example. I'm going to give you this model prayer. And when you get this model down, then you'll know something. I call it the model prayer. Many other theologians call it the model prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer, but actually the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. That's when Jesus, the Lord, is praying for his disciples before he goes to the crucifixion. That's actually the Lord's Prayer. This is called the disciples' prayer. So here the disciples are praying. Here the disciples are trying to make good with what God's got. So watch this now. There's the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer. But he said, after this manner, here's how you pray. So you see, the one we pray through shows us how to pray. We pray through, I mean, we pray through Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's our intermediate. All right? He's the go-between. He's the daysman. So first, there's a relationship to God. The very first thing you do when you pray, Our Father. Y'all said it with me. Our Father. Isn't that awesome? Our Father which art in heaven. The words of this tells us two important things about prayer. Number one, is the person we pray to, it is God, our Father, not Mary, not an angel, not a patron saint. We pray directly to our Heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? The disciples or the Jews were afraid to even touch the mountain that God, when God was intervening and talking to Moses, they wouldn't touch the mountain. At least they were scared they would die. They said, Moses, you talked to God. People were so afraid of God. And Jesus come and said, quit being afraid of Him. He is your Father. Wow. That's awesome. So here it is. It's God, not Mary, God, not an angel. And the person praying that speaks of us, we're in the family. How many know we're a part of the family? Matter of fact, I look like my father. You can look out there and tell which boys are mine. You know, I remember one day we were in court, and Daniel was wearing his little suit, and he was standing there with all the other guys wearing their suit, and they were back against the corner, and they called me up for jury duty, and the judge said, or they said, are you kidding anybody in this courtroom? And I said, yes, sir. And the judge looked right around, and he said, let me guess. Family resemblance. Amen. I was at the ball field the other day, and DC and I were standing side by side in the dugout, and Linda, she looked over at Amy, and she said, those guys kind of favor, don't they? Family resemblance. Well, you know what? We've got a Heavenly Father, and we've got the family resemblance. Amen? Because we walk in love, and we've got the Father, Son, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we've got body, soul, and spirit. We're a trichotomy just like God is a trichotomy. And we can talk to our Father. Our Father, our focus in prayer is on our Father. The one who called worlds into existence. The one that the devils tremble when He speaks. The one that angels bow down to. We get to call Father. There's not an angel in heaven that can call Him Father. Amen? We can call Him Father. Matter of fact, it says Abba, Father. Abba in the Arabic, actually, Abba is daddy. Wow. There's nothing like it. When I was hurting, when I was a little boy, when I was afraid, if I could just get to my daddy, and all he had to do was hold me. He didn't have to say a word, just hold me. Because once I got in his arms, I knew everything was going to be all right. Our Father's not limited by earthly restraints. He's not limited by man's abilities. He's not limited by man's wisdom. God is so awesome. He's everlasting God who controls all things. There is not a sorrow that you have experienced that God can't heal. There's not a problem that you've got that God can't take care of. God is in control. So He has heaven's infinite resources. And so when we pray, we're actually inviting God into our life, and we're also inviting God to bring His infinite resources so God can do more. I heard about this man in World War II. He was on the run. He was overseas in Germany. He was a paratrooper. He was on the run. They were killing the people because they were separated because of their parachutes went all everywhere. And the guy was finally found a little cave. The German SS was coming after him. True story. The German SS was looking for him so they could kill him. Already killed his other guys. And he ran and he saw a little cave. And so he crawled in this little itty-bitty cave. And the German SS officers were checking all the caves to see if they could find him so they could kill him. They're going to pull him right out and kill him right in front of everybody. And so he prayed, God, I need you, Father. I need you to let me live through this day. And God, I need you to show me your mighty hand. I thank you for it, Lord. And he could hear the soldiers all around the different caves. And all of a sudden, a spider went down at the door and started spinning a web. And he said, God, I asked for help, and you sent me a spider. He heard the SS still going around, and that spider worked at breakneck speed, and that spider spun a web in front of that door. The SS came to his door, to the cave, and he said, well, God, I reckon this is it. And so he even put his hands up, and when they got to the soldier got to the door, he saw the spider web and said, there's nobody in here. There's still a spider web at the front door. Wow. God can use the smallest things. God can answer your prayers. So there's the relationship to God. He's our Father. There's reverence for God. Now, these are the things you get out of the way to start with. This is how you go into God's presence. This is how you usher into God's presence. You don't go in by going, hey God, I'm a little short this week. You think you let me hold a little bit more? Hey, God, me and them are fighting, and it'd be really cool if you could take care of that. That's not how you enter into God's presence. You're even first acknowledging, you're my Father. Wow, you're my Father. That's awesome. He is my Father. So now, the reverence for God is, hallowed be thy name. The first petition in prayer is for the glory and honor of God. You know that? The very first petition is for the glory and honor of God. First and foremost, our aim in life is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, wherefore, that whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Wow. Whatever you're doing, whether you're taking in, you're putting out, whether you're working, whether you're playing, whatever you're doing, make sure it's for the glory of God. Glory of God actually means you make God big. You make God really big in front of people. Amen. You know, some of y'all out here are good at telling fishing stories. I've heard them. Well, the first time I heard you tell it, he was that big. The next time I hear you tell it, the next time, the third time, he almost sunk the boat before you got him in. And I know you do it because I do it too. We're good at fish stories. You know what? Instead of worrying about our fish stories, how about let's make God big? Just in the last couple of weeks, I told you about that engineer dying at Fountain. Not at Fountain, he died in Colorado. I make the phone call. They're getting ready to ship his ashes back and need a funeral. And I call just at the right time. His wife says, at the perfect time. Then something else happened, and I was supposed to be going to Food Lion one night to get something for breakfast the next morning. We were coming through Washington. My wife said the bridge is out. It's probably easier if you just go ahead and stop in Washington. And I was right there at the turn. I said, okay, so I turn on in. I'm in there. I'm looking for a certain thing. I looked those aisles. I bet you I looked them 20 times, up and down, up and down. And I said, this has got to be here. I don't see it. And about that time, another guy came up behind me and said, wow. I said, what's wrong? He said, this is amazing. He said, this morning I asked God, I have somebody in my family that is in such a bad, they're so depressed that it's dangerous. And they need somebody. And the Lord and I were talking, and the Lord spoke to me and said, get David. Go talk to her. And he said, I got a new phone, didn't even have your number. He said, and all day long I've been thinking, how can I get a hold of David? I got to call somebody to get a hold of David. And then he goes in to a Food Line where I'm not even supposed to be at, and there I'm standing looking for something that's not there. Wow. And then yesterday, I'm walking along yesterday, riding along yesterday, and there's somebody I know that was having a problem. They'd lost somebody in their family. So I'm riding by. And when I ride by, I think about it, and I call them. And they said, you know, it's strange. I was just getting ready to call you. I said, that's not strange. And then we talked a little bit, and about 10 minutes, he said, you know what? I'm glad you called. He says, I feel so much better. And he said, let's go to lunch. I said, let's go to lunch. God's like that. God knows where to put you, how to put you, let you work, let you operate, if you just trust him. Remember, make him big. Then there's the rule of God. Here's the hard part. This is my hardest part. Now, I know y'all don't have problems with this, but this is just me. Okay? Y'all can look at me and go, shame on you when you get through. The rule of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. First, we have subjects. Thy kingdom come. God, you need to rule in my life. How many in here can actually tell me that God's ruling in your life? Don't you raise your hand. Because the other guys might get intimidated and want to walk out because they can't. How many say, God, rule my life? And he says, okay, tell this person I love them, and you don't tell them. Okay, God, show me. Take control of my life. Okay, well, give this. Well, you didn't say I had to give this. Okay, well, Lord, I need you to tell this person you forgive them. That person? Did you see what they done to me, God? Well, did you see what they done to his son on the cross? So, that's right. Somebody said, I heard it. Bam! So then, second is service. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we need to pray that a man will submit to God's rule and that his submission will be done with excellence. Look behind us. Excellence in his service. Are we actually giving God our best? Are we? You see, if it was your child, if it was your spouse, I hope you would give your best. You heard me say it before. People ride by the church. I was on the way to dump. I was going to throw this away, and I want to see if church could use it. So God, you get leftovers. Remember that little thing we had with the cakes that day, and God got the crumbs out of it? So do we really want to rule our life? Do we really want to tell us what to do? Do we really want to make Him look big and honor Him? Because we definitely want Him to honor us. I like sitting down. For at least a few minutes anyway. The resources of God. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a petition for our earthly needs. It involves three things. Watch this. One thing I talk about all the time. First, it involves favor. Give us this day. How many in here deserve what God gives you? Raise your hand. I'll take this off and give it to you. I'll go sit out there. I don't deserve what all God does for me. That's not about your feet stink. Next week's to talk about attitudes. How many here can say, yeah, I deserve everything God's doing and I deserve everything I ask for? You see, it's favor. God judges me on mercy, not merit, praise God. Did y'all know God judges you on mercy, not merit? Praise God when it comes to stuff like this, the Lord's Prayer. Now when you stand before Him at the throne, it's going to be based on merit, not mercy. But now it's on mercy, not merit. The second, faith, this day. See, we need to look every day to God for faith. We try to look way on down the road somewhere. God, I need you to help me next week. God, I need you to help me down the road. I need a good job when I'm 28 and I'm 24. No, no. Now. Now. God, I need you now. When I give in the morning, it says His mercies are fresh and new every morning. Lamentations. His mercies are fresh and new every morning. God, I need your mercy now, today, because today is, the Bible says you don't even know about tomorrow. Today's got enough. It's sufficient for itself. The evil's thereof. Today. Right now. I don't know about you, but my life, usually every day has a surprise. Is yours? Yeah. Let me get a phone call. I've locked out my car. Can you come get me, Dad? This was last week, Bethany. Dad, I don't know how I done it, but I locked my keys in my car. I said, I know how you done it. You left them in there and shut the door and locked it. Can you come get me out? I said, are you locked inside your car and can't get out? We got a problem. She said, no, we're not locked inside, Dad. I'm out here trying to get my car. I said, are you in a hurry now? Because my car's being worked on. My car's on the rack. And she said, okay, I'll wait. I said, well, that's pretty good because we'd have to. But again, you know, how many surprises do we have a day? You get a call, somebody's going to the emergency room. Or somebody died, or somebody's having a problem, or you hear bad news about somebody, or you hear some good news you want to call and share. Every day our life gets interrupted. That's why we need to daily ask God. God, I need your mercies today. I need it for right now. Second or third thing is for our food. It's favor, faith, and food. Our bread. We are to pray for our material needs as well as for our spiritual needs. Now, next. Once you get past that, here's a hard one. My first one was God be the rule of my life, and here's a hard one. How many's ever been done wrong? How many, you know, if you talk to that person again, you get done wrong again? Okay. Repentance to God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, to understand this petition here, we need to notice what Luke says. Luke says sin instead of debts. I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that in a minute, but I just want to talk to you about this for a minute. The repentance of God. Now, I want you to see who, watch this one. Let her rip there, bro. Look at this. Anybody ever been like this? All the guys got real quiet. Chicken. Now, how many have been like that, period? I just got men, old man, I put man and woman up there. Now, how many is actually, it could be you and your boss, it could be you and a co-worker, it can be you and your spouse, it can be you and a parent, it can be you and a child, whatever. But you got this thing going on. And it's not a one-time thing, it just keeps rolling, rolling, and rolling. Okay, so repentance, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the petition here is for divine forgiveness, first of our sins. It's awesome. God didn't say you forgive others first. He says, before you start meddling in that one, you better take care of yourself. Oops. Before you get all fired up about somebody else, how about take care of yourself? Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. We'll go around so mad at somebody else and realize, hey, you know, I may be making somebody else mad. I may be hurting somebody else's feelings. You never know who, what, when, and where. You don't always know. There's people right now that have unforgiveness in their heart towards you, and you don't even know it. There's people in here bearing unforgiveness and grudges with you. You have no idea you even did anything. Did y'all know that? And there's people also that you know that your relationship with them is hindered because you're with them, you're talking with them, but you're hindered because you have lacked total forgiveness for what they've done. Like the woman, man, you've heard, I said this before, we were doing forgiveness earlier this year. The man told the woman, the husband had messed up, he asked his wife to forgive him, she says, I forgive you. And every time she got mad, or every time something happened, she'd bring it up. He said, I thought you forgive me. She said, I did, honey. She said, I thought you'd forgotten it. She said, I did, honey. She said, but how come every time you get mad at me, you bring it back up? She says, I don't want you to forget that I forgave and forgotten. All right, now I'm hearing some. Yeah. All right, fellas, y'all starting to liven up a little bit. All right, so the work of forgiveness. The work of forgiveness is important. It's an important word. Matter of fact, there's a four-letter word. Did you know that forgiveness is a four-letter word? W-O-R-K. Marriage is a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Life is a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. So here we are. There's a duty of forgiveness. We are to forgive. It's a divine command. It's not an option. It's a duty. So first, God, you forgive me. God, you see what I've done. Here it is. And God, how many times have you... I'm gonna throw you out for a very daring thing to do. I dare you to try it. Today at altar call, I want you to ask God to show you something that you've done that's offended Him that you didn't know that you did. Try it. Not now. At the end of service, I want you to come up and I want you to say, God, I want you to show me what I've done that offended you. I remember one time, DC and Daniel's mom and I, we were having an argument. And we had read somewhere where we just need to write this stuff out, stuff that offends you, and then share the page. I'm going to write something that offends me about her, and she writes something that offends me about me, and I give her my list of what offends me about her, or what she's done, and she gives me a list of what I've done to her to offend her. And so I sit there for a few minutes, and I write, and think, and I write, and I think, and I write. I got about four items. I said, okay, here it is. These are the things that you do that bother me. Four things. And she said, hold on, I'm still writing. And then, this is no joke, she said, you got another piece of paper? she gave me two sheets of paper. And I said, wow. I said, maybe I didn't understand the question. All right. So here, watch this now. Watch. Again. Forgiveness. Watch this. The defining of forgiveness. Forgive means to send away, to let go, to free a debt. When somebody hurts you, they are indebted to you. That's why it hurts so bad, because there's no way they can pay you back. There's no way. I mean, they can give you whatever they want. I told somebody one day, they were mad at me, and I said, buddy, if I was on the bridge on fire, you wouldn't even stop by and spit on me. I didn't do anything. Letting go. Giving. Releasing that debt. When you release that debt, not only do they become free, you become free. So watch this now. Watch this. Forgiveness is not probation, meaning I'm going to let you slide for just a little while. But if you mess up again, I'm bringing this one back up. How many's ever got a prayer of judgment? Prayer for judgment. How come my boys are the only ones, and Jordan? My boys and a former law enforcement officer, one that ran from the law, and one that was working with the law right now. Thank y'all for putting your hand up, because I begin to feel like I got the heathen crowd right over here. Okay. You know, when you ask for a prayer of judgment at a court, you know what they do? They put you on probation. And they actually hold it. And for how many years is it? 5, 3, depending on if you're Jewish or... Okay. So for 5 years, if they forgive you on probation, they say, we forgive you, but we ain't forgotten it. So if you got a 70 and a 55, and you ask for a prayer of judgment, and they say, okay, but if you do anything in the next 5 years, we're bringing that one up that you made then, and we're bringing up that 70 and 55. So they're bringing you up, pay for both of them. Did you know that? Do you know what the prayer of judgment does? You know, Bethany just got a ticket. And she said, well, Dad, I was on the way to do good. I said, you still can't go 70 to 55. I was trying to look out for my brother. I said, how about trying to look out for your dad? And so she went to a class yesterday. They let her take a class. I called the DA. And I said, I want to lay on the mercy of the court. And he said, that ain't a problem. Just send her to this class. This is a one-time mulligan. Send her to the class. If she passes, we'll look over it this time. She passed, praise God. Because I thought if she didn't pass, she was going to be walking to her own funeral because I was going to take the car away from her. All right. So here we go. Forgiveness is not probation. If I forgive you, I forgive you. Now, if you make some new charges, okay, then we might go back to battle here. But as long as it's old charges, then we'll be fine. So here we go. Here it is. God said, forgive men their trespasses. How many's ever had anybody trespass on your land? That's why it says trespass. How many's ever had the enemy, or not enemy, but have somebody that you didn't even know come and just get on your land? Pick up your stuff. Go over to your house. Anybody ever had anybody go to your house and take your lawnmower and take it and start using it? I have. You ever have anybody come over and take your kids' bikes and start riding them? You come to church and you're at the parsonage, beside the parsonage, and they had a party next door, a party at the church, and all the kids went over and got all my kids' bikes and were riding them all over the church. And I said, what's going on? They said, well, those bikes, they're at the parsonage, so they belong to church. And I said, we need to talk about what's what. But again, trespass. Trespass. So here we go. Forgiven. First God forgives me. Then I forgive them. And the Bible even is very clear about it because it says, even after the Lord's Prayer, verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, that hindrance that you're having between that person, you're also having between God. And so you're praying this prayer. It's hitting the ceiling and falling down. Why? Because you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart. Up, down. Up, down. So here we go. Finally, the righteousness from God. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's pretty cool. Lead us not into temptation. I know God's not going to lead me into temptation. He may lead me into a trial. He did with Jesus. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tested and tempted. So what's it talking about? It means, God, I need your help to walk a holy life. I got up yesterday morning. One day last week, I said, Lord, so far, thank you, God, so far, I haven't talked about anybody. I haven't had a bad attitude. I haven't even had a bad thought. I said, but in about 2 minutes, I'm getting up. And I'm going to need your help. God, help me walk a holy life. And deliver us from evil. Now look, watch this. Be careful. When you say deliver us from evil, it's not seeking exemption from trial, but escape from transgression. There's a difference. It's not seeking exemption from suffering, but to escape from sin. Then there's respect for God, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The first petition was for the glory of God. The last words is an acknowledgement of the glory of God. So now, when you go before God and you want to pray and you want your prayers answered, this is prayer for dummies, when you're feeling like a dummy. First, you acknowledge your relationship. After you acknowledge your relationship, then you reverence God as the Father. Then you talk about His rule and His resources and repentance. And then you talk about His righteousness. Lift Him up. I'm gonna put it in short right here. Here's the Lord's Prayer in short. In brief. There it is. You got it already up there. The first three petitions direct our attention to God the Father. Watch this. Pray to the Father about His name. Hallowed be Thy name. I heard a little boy one time come in and said, I've been praying to Harold. And I said, you've been praying to Harold? He said, I've been praying to Harold, preacher. I feel it better all the time. I said, praying to Harold? He said, yeah, it's in the Bible. Read it. Read it. I said, what are you talking about? It said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right. Pray to the Father about his name, hallowed be thy name. Pray to the Father about his kingdom, thy kingdom come. Pray to the Father about his will, your will be done. The second three teaches us to pray for ourselves and for others. Pray for provision, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for pardon, forgive us our debts, and pray for protection. Lead us not into temptation. The last three take care of all the needs of life. Did you know that? That's why this prayer is so important. Provision takes care of your present. Pardon takes care of your past. And protection takes care of your future. Wow. Did you know? Isn't this an awesome prayer? Do you know my wife and I, for years, ever since we've been married, we've prayed every morning together. And we got to where we were praying these long 10, 15 minute prayers. And one day she said, dear, can I ask you a favor? I said, sure. She says, can we change the way we pray? And I said, okay. I wasn't sure what she meant. And she said, even though we pray for everybody by name and we go through all this, she says, dear, sometimes it's got to be repetition. And she says, is there something we can do about that repetition? And so I said, what is it you want to do? She said, can we start praying the Lord's Prayer? I said, sure. And so every morning, we pray the Lord's Prayer together. We hold hands and pray the Lord's Prayer together. And you say, well, that's just a little nursery thing they do in nursery. Nope. Nope. Because when I do it, remember this, when you're doing it, you're taking care of your present, your past, and your future. When I was at Emmaus this time, I don't know how many times I could ask DC and Brandon, how many times did we say the Lord's Prayer? We probably said it 4 or 5 times. You know, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. It's just that prayer is so powerful. It actually is prayer that even a dummy can pray. Now, here's what I want us to do. Y'all guys, come on up here. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to do something different. I want all that will to come up, all that will. And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to ask God, Lord, have I been putting you first? Lord, am I actually putting you first in all these prayers? Am I putting your kingdom first? Am I putting you up there? Are you the one I'm acknowledging? Or am I just doing a now lay me down to sleep prayer? Or am I just trying to get my petitions? I need stuff, so you're my grocery store. No, am I really trying to put you first? And then once you and God talk about it, and that's between you and God, then I want you to say, Lord, is there something in my life that offends you that I'm not aware of? Can you show me? And if you show me, help me to deal with it. If there's something in my life, an attitude of something going on in my life, there's something I'm doing or not doing. A lot of times I find out with Christians the stuff that we're not doing. Remember, there's the sin of omission and the sin of commission. The sin of commission is when you actually go out and do something bad or you break the law, His law. Omission is when God's told you, take care of this, and you walk by and just let them be hurting in their need. So here we go. All that will. I want you. You don't have to kneel. You can stand. But I want this altar to be filled up. Fill it up. We're going to do something different. Like I told you, it's going to be different. I did something different. I sat down the whole time. Y'all say sometimes you can't keep up with me. I sat down the whole sermon. Almost. I want you to ask God, God, am I actually putting you first in my prayers? Am I building you up before I ask you to build me? Am I trying to respect you and showing you the respect you deserve? Or are my prayers all about me? Because I can tell you, if your prayers are all about you, that's why you're not getting your prayers answered. It's time to ask Him. Lord, show me. Then put God in front. And then ask Him, God, are there things in my life that I'm doing that's offensive to You? That I don't even realize? Will You show me? Show me, Lord, then help me deal with it. And watch what happens. Your prayers, the floodgate will open up. The floodgate will open up. That's not my promise, that's God's. God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's a very powerful prayer. God's first, God's last. We're sandwiched in the middle in there somewhere. Ask Him for His guidance, direction, and provision. Thank You, Lord. 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 You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. You're awesome. I ask You right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord. To help us to put You first in that prayer. To build You up. To build You up, God. To build You up, Lord. Lord, we love You, Father. We thank You, God, for the daily provisions. We thank You, God, for taking care of us, Lord. And Father, if there's anything in us, Lord, that You don't like, show me, God. Show me so I can deal with it. Show me so I can deal with it. And Your heart is kind. Thank You, Father.
For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Sing it, church.
Sing like never before. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. Let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name.
Praise God. God is awesome. God is awesome. We ought to just keep telling Him that. God, You're awesome. God, You're awesome. God, You're awesome. Let me ask you a question. How do y'all feel when somebody does that to y'all? If they're going to you and they're going and they're telling you that they need something from you and they never acknowledge you. God's waiting with open arms. Open arms. Open arms. Open arms. But we got to acknowledge Him.